Welcome in, everyone, to the fourth installment of the Boys of Winter podcast. Today we'll be reviewing the Western Conference and the offseason and what every team in the West sort of did and didn't. We already reviewed Seattle last week, but that doesn't really count as of right now. As always, I am Owen Krepps, joined by
Levi Atchison.
And we are here. And in about a week, a lot has happened, especially the RFA market, and it is officially opened up. And I feel like that's what we should start with, because it's kind of the biggest thing, the biggest talk in the NHL right now. Mitch Marner, he signed.
Mm-hmm. It came out of nowhere, too.
It did. It came out. It was Friday night homecoming, and I'm like, is this what?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
What are your thoughts on the deal?
Well, last week, I remember we were talking about the East, and I was like, we were both agreeing that Marner was going to sign. But I had no idea it would happen this soon. I also thought it would carry over into the season.
I said it would happen in December.
Yeah, and then I'm just driving, and I see a text from, was it Bob McKenzie? You know, it was one of the analysts, and they said that the deal, it was Darren Dreger. He was like, a Mitch Marner deal is coming. And I'm like, okay, you know, hang on here. And then he says, it sounds like it's going to be for 6 years and like around $10 million. And I'm like, okay. But I also saw a tweet, I think this one was from Bob McKenzie, where he said that Marner rejected a deal from another one they had offered because it was lower than Auston Matthews, and which I didn't really – I don't think I believed that. And then obviously he ended up taking a deal that was a lot lower than Auston Matthews.
He also rejected two offer sheets. I don't know. We don't know the teams.
I heard the rumor it was Minnesota and Columbus.
Both the teams, yeah. Mm-hmm. Both of the teams could have done it. Yeah, absolutely. So the RFA market has opened up, but before Mitch Marner signed, a couple RFAs that did sign, Pavel Zacha did not go to the KHL. He re-signed Zach Werenski as well, Brendan Lemieux, Kevin Fiala, cool. Marcus Pedersen signs. That is a great deal for the Penguins, considering it's a Jim Rutherford, I'm sorry, we can do this next year.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this might be a good deal, but let's say Pedersen has a really, really good season. Like, I was thinking the Penguins were going to lock him up this year. Let's say they have cap space. They would have signed him to probably like a 4 or 5 year deal, 3 to 5, in the $3 million range, maybe, $4 million. But if he has a really good season, he's going to get paid way more.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Schultz is up. Galchenyuk will be up, but we'll have some sort of cap space. But we have a lot of RFAs next year, including now Pedersen again. He took a 1 year, $874,125 deal, which is, he didn't even hit the millions, which surprised me. I wrote a piece on it for Pittsburgh Sportscastle about how he could have at least been making $1 million based on the season he had.
There's no cap space.
But yeah, Jim Rutherford. The take on this is that Jim Rutherford is like, I'm sorry, we're cap strapped right now. Can we do this again in a year?
Yeah, I mean, next year you got Justin Schultz, Galchenyuk all expire. Both of them going to the UFA market. You also have Erik Gudbranson. I'm not saying his contract's over, but it's 1 year left, and I'm sure
could be buyout.
I'm sure. Well, yeah, and also I'm sure there's one team out there that'll take Gudbranson for one season.
Just for 1 year, yeah.
So you could always, you know, clear that up. You know, Murray's going to get a pay increase. So it's going to be interesting.
Other RFAs to sign, Andrew Magenpine. He's the only reason I know his name is because he's just a name that hasn't been signed in the RFA market. Travis Konecny signed last night. Charlie McAvoy signed also. And Brandon Carlo signed this morning. And Brock Besser signed last night.
Mm-hmm. So that was a really good deal.
Bunch of bridge deals here. McAvoy took a bridge deal. Besser took a bridge deal. But Konecny,
Provorov,
and Marner,
you got
and Provorov, they took long extensions.
But you know who still has not been signed yet, and it's killing me? Patrick Laine.
So, yeah, if we look at the current RFAs that are still out there, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, Matthew Tkachuk, Mikko Rantanen, Braden Point are essentially the only big names out there.
You saw those jerseys, right, that the Jets put out?
Yes, they are phenomenal.
So good. And if Patrick Laine signs with the Jets, I'm getting one.
Like, yeah.
Patrick Laine.
What if he signs like a one-year deal?
Then I won't. It's too risky. But, like, I love the jerseys, and Patrick Laine is my favorite Jet. So, literally anybody else, and I would I mean, I love the Jets, but I don't know if there's anybody else on the team. Maybe Kyle Connor. He's not even signed.
I like Mark Scheifele.
Yeah, Scheifele's a beast, too.
I think he's a beast, yeah.
Wheeler, I mean, Hellebuck. But, nah, I would go Patrick Laine.
Moving on. interesting piece of news came out, and it has completely been taken the wrong way. We're going to go through two pieces of news that have been taken the wrong way. But first, the Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel drama that came out. The Athletic, a reporter by the name of Rob Rossi, came out, and he's good at covering the Penguins. If you actually read the article, it's a great article, and but it's been taken the wrong way. Like, if you look at the score, which is what whose Twitter page I'm on right now, it says Malkin asked the Penguins to trade him if Kessel stayed. Nowhere in the entire article does it say that, but it's just
they fake made that news. The title so it'd get clicks.
Here's the actual text from The Athletic. Multiple team sources say that Malkin requested a trade if Kessel was to return. Malkin denies that, but it doesn't mean he wanted to play another game, let alone another season with Kessel as his line mate. So there was some, we all know that there was some controversy going on between Kessel, Sullivan, Rutherford, and Malkin, but
I can't Malkin, see Malkin request
Malkin did never trade. Malkin never requested a trade out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, Malkin has made it clear that he wants to play in Pittsburgh for his career, and I can't see him wanting to leave just because one guy on the team, you know, Phil Kessel. Like, usually if a guy requests a trade, he's mad at the entire organization, not just one guy. And so I'm not saying, like, I do believe the fact that maybe he did want Kessel out of there, but I don't think he gave the Penguins an ultimatum.
He did not go straight to Jim Ruther's office and say, trade me or trade Kessel.
Yeah, he might have said something.
He's not Antonio Brown. He wouldn't do anything like this.
Yeah, maybe Jim Rutherford went up to Malkin and said, hey, do you want me to get rid of Kessel or do you want me to trade him out?
It's not working out.
Yeah, and Malkin probably said,
yeah. And it's not like this has been a terrible time that these two have had together. Mm-hmm. They won two Stanley Cups together. So I'm sick of the people that are calling both Kessel and Malkin coach killer, toxic, GM killing.
Yeah.
No, they both could have won Conn Smythe's. I'm sick of it.
I think Phil wanted out too, only for the fact that, you know, he won his Stanley Cups. Now he just wants to go and play in a really hot area and just have fun and play hockey and I mean, obviously the media is
especially,
not
yeah,
big at all in Arizona. Yeah. So I think he won his Stanley Cups. He did what he wanted to do, and now he's just gonna probably ride out the rest of his career in Arizona.
But I not mean, that he doesn't want to win again. He,
yeah.
I mean, if he obviously
yeah exactly
wins with Arizona,
yeah,
he'll obviously be happy. Another thing that was taken out of context. We're just gonna go over this real quick. But Pierre Maguire got fired. No, he didn't. There was multiple reports going around that Pierre Maguire, the beloved, hated actually by many NHL fans, NBC Inside the Glass reporter, was demoted, and that Brian Boucher would be taking over his position on the first team with Doc Emrick for NBC Sports.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen at all, and I didn't believe that it didn't happen when I saw Pierre Maguire wasn't demoted after all, but. The source that actually said that it didn't happen was Pierre Maguire himself, as he went on a TSN to straight up say, hey, what are you guys talking about? This never happened. Mm-hmm. I'm still in the number one team, and I'm going to be there whether you like it or not, essentially was what he was saying. So I got my hopes up. Did you as well?
I mean, I really don't like Pierre Maguire. Every time he talks, I'm just like, shut up. But, I mean, I wasn't, like, ready to throw a party that when I heard the news. I was more like, okay. You know, it's whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm glad that he's still there because, like, he did do a lot of not great things last season when it came to, like, whenever that
Kendall Coyne.
Yeah, when she came on, he was, like, you know, kind of acting like a jerk. It's whatever. I mean.
It's not. And NBC doesn't cover every single hockey game. They cover the matinee games. They cover the Washington.
And it's not always Pierre Maguire. Like,
and it's not always it's not always Pierre Maguire.
It could be like a Sunday
really,
afternoon.
It's really the playoffs where we see the NBC team because they cover most of the playoffs, especially the conference finals and the cup final. But I don't know. The Penguins didn't make it there last year, so we didn't have to deal with them as much.
Mm-hmm.
So to the Western Conference we go. We are going to preview, review, and try and fortune tell our ways to all the teams in the Western Conference, starting with our boy Phil Kessel and the Arizona Coyotes. These teams are organized by cap space. As of the time I was making this, I don't know how much it changed with the Besser extension and all that and all the other deals that have been signed. But Arizona is at the top of this list for now. Their additions, Phil Kessel, Carl Soderberg, which was an interesting trade. They got Soderberg for like a third and Kevin Connaughton.
Mm-hmm.
They also added a first-round pick, Victor Soderstrom, but by far their biggest add was Bo Bennett as he comes to the Arizona Coyotes, comes back.
From the KHL.
From a year. He didn't play hockey for a year. Yeah. He was hurt for a whole year because, mm-hmm. of course, he was. But he went from the KHL the year before that. Their subtractions, Pierre-Oliver Joseph, Alex Galchenyuk, thank you very much, sort of. And Kevin Connaughton, who we just mentioned, was traded in the Carl Soderberg trade. Clayton Keller and Jordan Schmaltz got extensions. What do you think of this team, Levi?
The Keller deal, that was really good. Locked him up. I mean, I know he had a really good season two seasons ago. Last year was a little bit of a down year, but I definitely think it was a good idea to get Keller and Schmaltz both locked up. Schmaltz, I really hope he is successful. I mean, they traded away Dylan Strome, one of their best prospects, who just was not performing in Arizona. They got rid of him, got Schmaltz in return. Strome has just been killing it for Chicago, so I hope that Schmaltz is able to be successful in Arizona. I remember he was out. Like, he played a few games with Arizona and then had that season-ending injury.
I believe they both got 7 years, Keller and Schmaltz, so they're going to be there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to prove themselves.
But I don't think they make the playoffs this year. I think Arizona's just barely miss out again, like last year. I think they might need a feeling out year with these new guys like Kessel and Soderberg. And you got all these young guys that just not got new contracts. I think they're going to need a year. But next year, I think they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and we say this a lot. Buffalo and Arizona are the two teams that are like, oh, they got to make it this year. But if they don't, are we really surprised? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of agree with your pick there. The Pacific is the weakest division in hockey, in my opinion. You got Calgary, Vegas, and San Jose.
I don't think they beat out those teams.
Locks for the playoffs?
Yeah,
I think so. Wild cards, Central's pretty tough, so I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Both wild cards are going to come out of the Central Division.
If they make the playoffs, they have to make it in the Pacific because, like you said, the Central Division is going to take up all the wild cards. I don't think they're making the playoffs as well. I think Kessel will excel, though. I think he'll do great. People have him falling off a cliff. I don't see that happening. But I think he's going to lead the team in points, but I don't think this team's making the playoffs.
I think I remember last week when we were talking about the East, I was giving my specifics for like what team is going to finish where. For the West, I'm just going to say whether they make the playoffs or not. I'm not going to be as specific.
Yeah, because next episode we'll go through our full brackets and what we have. Next up, the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. They really didn't do much this offseason. So for under additions, I put the Stanley Cup. Do you really have to have that good of an offseason when you're just partying the entire time?
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. And they didn't do much. Patrick Maroon left and he went to Tampa.
Bunch of contract extensions.
And they extended so many guys. Joel Edmondson, Jordan Binnington, that's a big one right there. Mm-hmm. Zach Sanford, Robbie Fabry, Oscar Sundquist, Carl Gunnarsson all signed extensions, and those are all Stanley Cup champion players. This is essentially the same roster.
Yeah, I think they make the playoffs.
With
sure.
a Jordan Binnington that's now has more NHL experience, without Patrick Maroon. I think they're completely fine for the way that they're doing right now. But the Central Division is very tough. My prediction, I think they are going to have a Stanley Cup hangover just a little bit, like every team would, just in the couple first couple of months. I still think they make the playoffs in the Central. It might have to be in a wild card form because I don't see them beating out like Winnipeg or Nashville.
Or Colorado
or Dallas or maybe even, like you said, Chicago before. I think they'll make the playoffs, though. Probably a first-round exit, maybe second round. Moving on to another Central Division team, the Dallas Stars. They did a lot this offseason. Nothing too crazy. Well, I guess you can say it's kind of crazy.
They made a lot of offseason moves.
Yeah, they got rid of Tyler Pitlick, Valerie Nichushkin, Ben Lovejoy, Jason Spezza, and Julius Honka just requested a trade, so he might be going somewhere soon. They re-signed, this was a head-scratcher, the Esa Lindell extension was a little bit too much money and for a little bit too much, but they have a lot of good young defensemen there in Dallas.
They got old in this offseason.
And they did get old.
Corey Perry, Sekera, Pavelski.
Corey Perry, Andre Sekera, Joe Pavelski, Thomas Harley, their first-round pick, who is related
to. I really wanted the Penguins to sign him.
Yes, because he is related to Emily Harley, who goes here to Robert Morris University. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
She plays for the women's hockey team, yeah. That's why I was super hyped to, like, because Thomas are, yeah, they're brother and sister.
Well, I was, I mean, I think the Stars drafted, like, 19th or 18th, and the Penguins were just so close. I was like, please don't draft Harley. I want to get him so bad.
They also added Ryan Hartman. So, yeah, like you said, that's kind of an older couple additions.
But I don't think it makes their team worse. It will make them a little bit slower. I mean, Perry, I mean, if halfway through the season Perry's not working out, he's probably just going to get sent to the
AHL.
He's
already hurt. Did you see that?
He already is.
He's hurt.
Did he hurt a preseason game or?
Was before even preseason. He's out for a couple weeks already.
Great. I want Perry to do well.
I think it was something in his leg or something. I like Perry only because he, like, never bothered the Penguins. I'm sure if he was in the East and was taking people's sticks, I would hate him. But I think it's hilarious when I just watch him do that in the West.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same relation I have with, like, Matthew Tkachuk. If he was in the East, I'd probably hate him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your predictions for Dallas?
They make the playoffs.
Yeah?
I think they will probably be a wild card team. I think they'll be the first wild card team, and then that second one will be really up for grabs between, like, Winnipeg, Chicago, and Arizona. I don't see Winnipeg, spoiler alert, being in the top three.
Really?
So, yeah, I love Winnipeg, but I just don't feel really confident in their team right now. They lost some players in the offseason.
Bufflin's out. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on there, though. Mm-hmm. But
we'll cover the Jets in a little bit. I mean, they think they're coming up, so.
I have them as a wild card team. I think they'll still make the playoffs. They didn't do anything too bad to their team. I mean, they got older, but, yeah, these are still good players. Joe Pavelski is still a very good player. I think they'll be out in the first or second round, though. I don't see them going too far.
Another player that Dallas lost out on the offseason was Zuccarello. I forgot about him because, I mean, he
was only there for a couple months. I mean, that was a big subtraction, though. He fit in very well there.
Yeah. I mean, he got injured in his first game. Do you remember that?
That was.
He scored in it.
Yeah, he scored. Didn't he have two goals in that game or something?
Yeah, and I was right before I got on my flight to Philadelphia or from Philadelphia from the stadium series. And so I was, like, really depressed because, you know, we don't talk about that game. But,
yeah.
I remember just covering that game on my phone and then seeing that he, like, broke his leg or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, really, tough. In your first game?
And he went to Minnesota, too. We'll get to that later. Minnesota's my new I don't like you team. Vegas, my favorite team in the West. They added not much. They were cap-strapped before free agency even started. So they added Garrett Sparks in the deal for David Clarkson, which was interesting. We already talked about that on our previous episode with Toronto. Apparently it gives Toronto more cap space to deal with. Who knows? They also added Peyton Krebs, who has a great last name. Very, very, very close to being the greatest last name ever, who was their first-round pick. And they got rid of Nikita Gusev, who never played a game for them, but it's still notable as he goes to New Jersey for practically nothing. They also got rid of Colin Miller and Eric Halla for practically nothing because they needed cap space.
And they got rid of their best player in their franchise history, David Clarkson.
Yes, after Vadim Sipashov is their best player.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
History.
Another, like, what's up with guys, like, these Russians not wanting to play, like Gusev?
Yeah, Gusev and Sipashov, they don't want to play for Vegas.
Sipashov, I think he's having a great season in the KHL right
Apparently,
now.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's, like, leading the league or is second.
Extensions, literally depth guys plus William Karlsson. William Karlsson got his big extension, so they were immediately cap strapped because he got a big extension. But Subban, not PK, Malcolm, Brandon Peary, Thomas Nosek, Derek Englund all get very low deals to re-sign. This is the Tampa of the West, in my opinion. This is a phenomenal team. Mark Stone is so good, and people need to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Stastny is a first-line center.
I don't know if it's tough picking them or Calgary for the second and third spot.
Yeah.
Unless you have them finishing first.
I have them either finishing first in the Pacific and threatening for a President's Trophy. That's where I have them. I think they're that good. I really think they're that good. But I say that they're Tampa of the West – And I feel like if they get in, they're either going to the final or they're getting out in the first round.
Well, I hope they get out in the first round.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I hate Vegas.
Really?
I hate Vegas so much.
Just because of the Penguin love for them.
Yeah, it's rough. And also, I just don't like their team. Like, you know, there's some teams that you just, like, don't like them. Like, Vegas is one of those teams I just don't like.
Yeah.
Originally, I had them finishing third in the Pacific, but, I mean, it's going to be very close between them and Calgary. I don't think they beat out San Jose. And if they do make the playoffs, which, I mean, they probably will, I don't see them going far. I think they'll probably do what they did last year. I'm sure Fleury will choke in the playoffs again, and they'll lose in the first round.
No, I disagree. I think they're either going to the – I think you'll see in my actual bracket position, I have them. I'll spoil it. They're going to the Final Four.
Wow.
I have Vegas. Vegas is a strong team. They're not just an expansion team that caught some luck anymore.
As long as they don't take a five-minute penalty in Game 7, then
– Yeah, okay. They have a great team with some great contracts on it too. I mean, they're cap-strapped, but they'll be fine. They have some good team. Another team that went to the final – and lost. The Nashville Predators. They really didn't do much this offseason aside from trade away arguably their best defenseman, arguably their worst defenseman.
But it cleared up some good cap space.
Cleared up a lot of cap space, but went and spent it on Matt Duchene. So their additions were Matt Duchene, Jeremy Davies, and Steven Santini in the New Jersey.
Who do you think will be the first line center for the Predators? Do you think it'll be Johansson or Duchene?
They have a lot of centers that are paid way too much money now that I'm thinking about it, because they have Turris,
Bonino.
That's four centers that are over $3 million at least. Yeah. I think it'll probably be Duchene.
Yeah. I mean, they'll have a really good 1-2 punch.
They'll have a decent 1-2 punch. I don't think they're –
I think Duchene is really solid.
I don't think Duchene or Johansson is either a first-line center. I don't think they're
– I don't know. That's tough. I would
have them both on my team as a second-line center.
Yeah.
But they're both making, like, what is it? Johansson's making, like,
Duchene's contract is actually very, like, I was expecting him to make more. Like, what is it, like, $9 million, $8.5 million? Like, I thought it would be more.
His deal's $8 million.
Yeah.
I believe it was $8 over $7 or something like that.
It's not bad, honestly. Like, I thought it would be more.
Nashville also added Philip Tomasino. I put every, like, I, like.
Tomasino. Tomasino.
Tomasino. Whatever.
No, I just, like I said.
I put every first-round draft pick that every team added here just because some teams didn't add much. Mm-hmm. They also re-signed Colton Sissons to a 7-year deal. And the reason why they did this, I had to, like, figure this out. I didn't figure it out myself, but I was told that Shea Weber got offer-sheeted by the Flyers. It was the Flyers way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't want to sign a long-term deal, or Nashville didn't want to sign him to a long-term deal, and he ended up signing to a long-term
deal. Super, super long deal.
And the Flyers offer-sheeted him that, and Nashville matched that, and that's the deal he's still on right now to this day. And it goes to the end of time. So what David Poile, who's been there for forever in Nashville, he's been there since Weber was there and before then. I believe he's, like, their only general manager in their history. Is that true? Or something? For Nashville.
I don't know. I mean, I know they're a pretty new team.
But anyways, David Poile, he like, learned his lesson from that, apparently, about how guys just want long-term deals. So he signed Colton Sissons to a 7-year deal, which is interesting.
The AAV isn't too bad.
What is it?
I think it's, like, $3 million.
Yeah. I think this is going to be possibly the best team in the West in the regular season. I think they'll have another fantastic regular season where they'll put up a banner for it for some reason. But I don't think they're going far in the playoffs. I don't see this team, like we said, the center depth isn't, it's there, but they don't have a guy. They don't have a
James Neal.
Yeah. They don't have a guy that can just lead this team. Like, yes, they have phenomenal defense. And in my opinion, as long as they keep Pekka in net, they're going to be a bad team. Because Pekka is not a good goaltender. I'll say it, and I'll say it again. He's not a good goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bold call. I mean, he hasn't really done a ton. I think he's good, but, I mean, I think Nashville's going to finish first in their division. It'll be close between them and San Jose, in my opinion. I think I have in my bracket them getting out in the second round to Colorado, which definitely can happen. I think Nashville's a really solid team. Philip Forsberg, Duchesne.
He needs
now.
To be their guy.
Yeah, he has to be. Sissons, Arvidsson.
They have a lot of depth there. And, like, what I'm saying is that they just – they're trying to find the stud with, like, Duchesne and Johansson. Mm-hmm. But they really haven't found – I'm not going to say, like, their Crosbys. But they need, like, someone, like, that's at least, like – Mark Scheifele, like some guy that's a stud on center. But
can we just talk about real quick how bad that deal was that sent Phil Forsberg to the Predators?
Yes, that was fantastic.
The Capitals basically giving Martin up. Like, right. Yeah, love that trade. I'm sure the Capitals are just loving that too.
Edmonton, they're already up on this list, and we're organizing by cap space. Yet they have a terrible team. I only put for my prediction three words: same old. S-word. I don't think Edmonton's going to have – they didn't do anything. They added James Neal for Milan Lucic. Interesting, but I don't think it's going to change this team drastically. Philip Broberg, first-round pick.
It's a good pick.
Cool, but he's not going to change the franchise, in my opinion. Riley Sheahan just happened the other day. Cool. Mike Smith, why? Marcus Granlund, why? They subtracted Jesse Puljujärvi.
Well, not yet.
Probably.
They essentially did. Yeah, I mean, he's never going to play another game for the Oilers. But
Andre Sekera, or Sekera, Milan Lucic, Cam Talbot. So they did get rid of some bad contracts.
I don't think they're going to be a bottom feeder in the season.
Neither do I. I think they're gonna be borderline, maybe in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're going to be almost mediocre.
Yeah, they'll just get
they're
carried
not gonna
by.
Be bad.
They'll get carried by McDavid.
They'll get carried by the best center.
And Nugent Hopkins. McDavid's the best center in the game.
We'll talk about that in another day.
Yeah, I'm gonna make that bold call now. I love Sidney Crosby. He's amazing. It's very close, but I think Connor McDavid is the best player in the world.
Yeah. The Mikko Koskinen deal is terrible. Sorry, I'm just trying to change the subject from that. The Mikko Koskinen deal is terrible. Runs till 2022. Alex Chiasson did get re-signed, but they still have Sam Gagner on this team. The James Neal deal is still pretty bad, and
I'd rather have James Neal on my team than Milan Lucic.
Yeah,
though.
That could be interesting though. Your predictions for Edmonton?
Miss the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be bottom feeder. Like they'll probably be. I can see them finishing like 22nd, 23rd in the league.
Yeah, same thing here. Another team that sort of finished right around there, yet you have them making the playoffs.
I have a bold call for Chicago. I mean,
the
right,
Chicago Blackhawks.
Maybe I need to put a little more thought into it, but I think Chicago had a very solid second half of the season. They got their worst move in my opinion was trading Jukka Harju.
That was interesting.
That was a really bad trade. I really like him, but
the last like swap that they did that was like essentially a 1-for-1 with a young player was Schmaltz for Strome.
Yeah,
people were like, that's a terrible deal for Chicago, and look what.
But those are both two young guys, and Jukka Harju's young, and I mean, who did they get in return?
Alex Nylander.
Oh yeah, they did. I mean, yeah, he's young too.
Could be a stud.
But Jukka Harju is already a stud.
Was already a stud.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting about this deal. Further additions, like we just said, Alex Nylander. They also added Kirby Dock, which how did they get the third overall pick?
But I don't think they picked the right guy.
Really?
I liked Kirby Dock. I can't think of the name on the spot right now, but I think they should have went for someone else.
Bowen Byram.
In that top five. Yeah, I mean, especially since you traded Jukka Harju.
They did that. I believe they did that after the draft, but still.
Kirby Dock though is very solid though, and it's not like they made a bad pick. He's not going to be. I don't think he'll be a bust, but I would have taken Bowen Byram. That's who I would have taken.
They added Olimata.
Wow.
Yeah, sad. Andrew Shaw, that was interesting. He had a great season in Montreal. He comes back to Chicago.
Chicago loves nothing more than bringing back their old guys.
Yep.
They brought back Quenneville, just not the right one.
Yeah, just not the right one. John Quenneville from New Jersey. Zach Smith. For Artem Anisimov,
that was a good trade. It was a good trade for both sides, in my opinion.
But why not? Yeah,
I think Smith is better.
Robin Lehner, who comes in, possibly going to be their starter.
He'll probably have to be their starter.
So you mentioned earlier that Corey Crawford before the show that Corey Crawford is probably not going to play. If he does,
he just is so injury prone that you need like a guy like Lehner, and I think Lehner is very solid. I mean, Vezina candidate.
Yeah.
So that I think that was a huge move for Chicago. I think Chicago is probably going to be that second wild card spot.
And really?
I know it's a bold call. Patrick Kane is still absolutely amazing. Jonathan Toews, I know he gets hated on for being overrated. He probably is a little bit overrated. Definitely not. I don't think he should be in the top 100 over Malkin. But Taves is still very solid. Alex DeBrincat, one of my favorite guys in the NHL to watch. I think Chicago is still going to be great. I think they're going to have a bounce back season. They looked really good in the second half. Like I said last year, they really struggled in the first half. I remember they had this really long losing streak, and then they beat the Penguins. Fun fact, the Penguins have not beaten Chicago since 2009 in Chicago.
Yeah.
2014 was the last time they beat them overall, and it was at home. This is the year they beat Chicago. We need to make that a hashtag.
Really? Yeah, hopefully. Patrick Kane had a phenomenal season last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's doing that again.
You don't think he's doing that again?
He had 110 points for a career high at the age of – how old is he?
Probably like 29,
he's 30. Yeah. He is 30 right now, and he had a career year at the age of 30 with 110 points. Guess how many points he had the year before, which is still a great –
Let me guess. 88.
76.
76.
That's an average year. Then he had 89, 106. That was back when they won the cup, or – back the year after they won the cup in 2016. But then if you just look, 64 points, 69 points, 55 points. He's not an 100-point lock.
I could see him getting a 95, 90 points, though, this year.
I mean, Dylan
Strome plays really
well. Not that he's
going to
fall off a cliff or anything. I just don't think Patrick Kane can do it again. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a McDavid where he can just carry this team, because that's what he did last year. I don't like him personally. But you got to respect what he was trying to do last year.
Do you remember what I said that on the first episode?
Playoffs. What?
Patrick Kane, the one guy that I like that everyone hates.
Yeah.
Love Patrick Kane. I mean, don't like what he does off the ice.
Yeah,
but on the ice, he's a great player. Dylan Strome, I think, is going to have a great season playing with Alex DeBrincat.
I'm really starting to like this team because of the Jurij Otters connection. I always hated the Blackhawks, and I kind of still do because of the Cups and share some of that.
I don't mind them now. I mean, obviously, growing up, like, I feel like you always – either love the teams that win all the time or you dislike them. In Chicago, I was kind of indifferent. I wasn't a big fan. I was more of a Kings fan.
I just thought they were the NHL's favorite, like, team.
Yeah. During my, like, teenage years, I mean, I'm still a teenager now, but like during my teenage years in high school, you know, it was at that time it was either Chicago or LA, and I was more of an LA Kings guy.
Yeah, same. I rooted for LA in 2012 because they were the underdogs. And
But I like Chicago now. I mean, they're not one of my favorite teams. If I had to put a tier, I'd probably put them on the indifferent level. But I think they'll make the playoffs. I like the team. The Yoko Haru trade sucks. And Dominic Cahoon, losing them to the Penguins. I really like Cahoon. And little tidbit, I've started a NHL 20 franchise, and Dominic Cahoon is so good.
Yeah.
He's so fast. So, I mean, a little bit biased there.
Could be great for the Penguins. But Chicago, my predictions for them, I think Kane doesn't fall off, but they still have a solid season. DeBrincat, Strome, Kane, even Taze, they have a good season, but they're not making the playoffs in that Central Division, man. Minnesota is like the only team in the Central that I can say they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yes,
and you
sure
have to pick at least two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago's that other team.
You think Chicago's that other team?
I don't think Chicago's making the playoffs.
For me, it might be Winnipeg.
Yeah,
which is really hard for me to say, but
we'll get to them later. But
we'll talk about that.
San Jose, in my opinion, we both still have that. We both have them as a lock for the playoffs and the Pacific.
Yeah, I think they'll win the Pacific. I think the Pacific's not very strong.
Second in the Pacific here.
Erik Karlsson, absolute stud. I think
hopefully.
I know he gets a lot of hate for his injuries, but I think he's going to have a great career in San Jose. And
yeah, because he's there for like possibly the rest.
Timo Meier, beast.
Additions. They didn't do much. I didn't even write anything here. I couldn't even look or think of something they added, but they did get rid of Justin Braun for a couple picks.
Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia.
And they lost Joe Pavelski, which I think is going to be
crushing
for this franchise.
It might be enough to take them out of the Stanley Cup talks.
This team has to win a Stanley Cup with Thornton, but I think they're done. I think last year was their last hurrah. But we said that about 2016, didn't we, with Marlowe?
Yeah, I still think San Jose is going to be killer.
They're still going to be a contender.
Kevin LeBanc, I mean, that contract.
Yeah, that contract, the $1 million 1 year.
One of the most generous contracts in NHL history.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Let me see how many points he had. I think it was like 50.
Possibly. He could have been at least making like $3 million Brian Rust-type money.
Last season, Kevin LeBanc he scored 56 points, 17 goals, and he's only making $1 million this year. I mean,
I feel like Patrick Hornquist had less points than that.
It's insane. I mean, Kevin LeBanc is totally just putting – he's putting all of his faith that he's going to have a great season this year.
Yeah, he's put – well, he's also putting faith in the San Jose Sharks, and he wants – he's like, all right, we're cap-strapped, but I still want to be on this team.
Let's say he doesn't have as good of a season. Like, let's say he only has like 40 points. He's not going to make a lot of money. Maybe the GM will hook him up a little bit just for taking the pay cut this year. But
Also, Joe Thornton sort of did the same thing. Signed a one-year, I believe it was $2 million deal to stay. Of course he did. Why would he ever leave? The new Yager of the NHL.
This will probably be his last season.
Really?
I don't think
so. We say that every year, though.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I mean, when he only signed a one-year deal, right?
He did sign a one-year deal. But didn't he sign a one-year deal last year, too?
Perhaps. Marlowe, he's not coming back.
Marlowe is not coming. That was interesting. Yeah. Marlowe is not coming back.
That's probably it for his career.
We thought he was, he did not get a PTO anywhere. It was rumored the Canadians were interested, or Edmonton was interested, or one of the teams that need scoring.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, but you'd think someone would give him a $700K deal.
But I guess, I don't know. The league's getting younger.
Didn't want to play for Carolina.
He did not. So, yeah, we all thought he was going back to the Bay Area because he bought a house there.
Yes.
And I think he thought he was going back too, but he's not. So, I see them as his lock for the playoffs. But, like I said, I don't think they're going far without Pavelski, without, I guess, Marlowe. And without good goaltending, which they don't have, which really cost them last year in the playoffs. Martin Jones is not a starter in this league. He can prove himself. Like, in 2016, he had a great run, but I don't think he's going to get back to that. Vancouver, who just signed Brock Besser to an extension. They also re-signed Alex Edler, and they also added JT Miller. That was a bad deal.
Good draft pick, though. Pod Colson?
Yes, for their first-round selection, who was, what, 7th?
10th.
10th?
Yeah, I think it was 10th.
He was projected to go 3rd or
he
something
was,
like that.
Yeah, and then what was it about him that, made – I think it was because he wasn't going to come over right away.
He's got the Yager Malkin type thing.
Yeah, so I think that definitely knocked his trade value down.
I mean,
I don't think he's a goal scorer. I think he's a power forward.
Yeah.
Two-way forward guy, but, I mean, definitely solid, and definitely in 3 years –
yeah, you always take your risks with those Europeans. They also added Michael Ferland. Good deal for him. Bad deal for Tyler Myers, though. Kind of overpaid for him.
Yeah, overpaid. But I'm not totally against the Myers deal, but it definitely made the Besser contract a little more dramatic.
I would not be against the Myers deal if it was on any other team, but the Vancouver Canucks are now the second highest team in cap space, and they're projected to be over the cap.
I think, they're at zero now that they signed Besser.
They still have Louis Erickson. Which is an awful deal. They added JT Miller, which is a $5.25 million deal. They still have Brandon Sutter. You're welcome. Tanner Pearson, you're welcome.
Vancouver gave up a lot for JT Miller, but I don't think it was a horrible trade. JT Miller is very solid, and I think they need that scoring.
But they don't need that cap hit, though. Next year, though, Chris Tanev will be a UFA. Troy Stetcher will be an RFA. Tim Schaller will be a UFA. Josh Levy will be a UFA. Jake Vertanen will be an RFA. But
be a lot of cap space that gets opened up.
That's kind of Tim Schaller, 1.9. Josh Levy, 1.5.
How much is Vertanen?
1.2 will be an RFA. He'll need upped.
Yeah.
Tanev will be the highest paid guy that's going to be off the books at 4.5. And Jacob Markstrom will be a UFA, who they are going to need to
Vancouver,
resign.
They have so many goalie prospects. So if they do lose Markstrom, it's not the end of the world, because I know they have – Demko, and they have the other guy. I forget his name.
Thatcher Demko?
Yeah. There's Demko, and then there's the other guy.
Down in the minors, they have Michael DiPietro.
Yeah, he's another good prospect for the Canucks.
Yeah, he was a World Junior stud.
So if they do end up losing Markstrom,
they did add a goalie contract this year. Roberto Luongo comes back to the team, sort of,
for
$3 million until the 2022 season. That's another bad cap thing that they did. Yeah, since Luongo retired, and Vancouver was the one that signed the contract, the extension for him.
They will
be forced to pay him $3 million for the next 3 years.
Roberto Luongo, the one who famously said, he's like, my contract sucks. Whenever someone was like, why weren't you traded? He's like, my contract sucks.
Yeah. They need to figure this out before 2022 or 2021, 2022. Because Elias Pettersson will be the RFA.
And do you remember the JT Miller trade? What it is? It's if I think they just they give up like a first round pick and a third round pick.
Yeah.
And if they
and Merrick Mazanek, if yeah. I remember correctly.
It's not lottery protected though. So this is totally banking on the fact that the Canucks are going to make a playoff spot in the next 2 years.
Jeez.
If they don't make the playoffs this year, it becomes a first round pick in the following year or something like that. Yeah, it's got that it's got the contract.
This is my Detroit of the West. The what are you doing with all these old contracts type things? I don't think they're going to be a bad team, but I don't think they're going to be a good team. They're not making the playoffs. Canucks fans have them making the playoffs. There's no way.
Not this year, but next year. I think they could. Here's the condition. If the Canucks don't make the playoffs in the 2019-20 season, the first-round selection will become a 2021 first-round pick, but it's not lottery protected. So let's say the Canucks have a really horrible season in the 2020-2021 season. Then, I mean, the Lightning might be getting a really high draft pick.
And the Lightning, too. Do they need high draft picks, Levi?
They do not.
Exactly. So. Speaking of really terrible, the Los Angeles Kings, they didn't do anything, and they had a terrible season last year. So, therefore, I still have them having a terrible season this
year. Decent draft.
They had a decent draft. They got 2 first-round picks, Tobias Bjornfoot, Alex Turcotte. They did, thankfully, get rid of the horrendous Dion Phaneuf contract. Adrian Kempe re-signs. Other than that, they didn't do much this offseason.
Going to be a bottom three.
Your prediction.
Bottom three team in the NHL. It's going to be tough to pick between them, Anaheim, and Ottawa, and for myself, but...
They're
definitely.
Just too old. They're too old. Adding Ilya Kovalchuk's not going to make you. Yeah.
They're just like too old. Too old. Happy Gilmore reference.
Yes, Happy Gilmore reference. Anze Kopitar's still a stud. I love him. But he can't carry this team. He's not McDavid where he can carry this team maybe to a playoff.
Oh, I thought Kovalchuk would carry the team.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
So
not much
just,
to say.
We're just move on. Not much to say about this team. I think they're going to be bad. I think Quick will. Possibly be traded.
Nice jersey though. They were just available.
Yeah, they did. They have nice throwback Gretzky jerseys. Mm-hmm. But the only problem I have with that is apparently they're only wearing them like 3-4 times.
Yeah, because whenever you have an away jersey alternate, you can't really. It's tough to wear them a lot.
But Calgary.
Hey, so if your team's gonna suck, at least have nice jerseys.
Yeah, Calgary.
Speaking of nice jerseys.
Speaking of, but this team doesn't suck though. Matthew Tkachuk's still out there, but they have a good roster. But they added Milan Lucic, which is interesting.
Yeah, they Cam Talbot.
For James Neal. And they also added Cam Talbot. So they essentially traded. It was a package deal. James Neal and Mike Smith for Cam Talbot and Milan Lucic. It's not really, but sort of.
Yeah.
Jacob, last name, Pelletier, I
Pelletier.
Believe. Pelletier.
Pelletier. I'm not a French speaker.
Yeah. First round pick. They also bought out Mike Stone just to re-sign him, which is, I mean, that's fine. And Mike Smith, they also got rid of. So David Riddick got an extension. He's probably, hopefully, going to be their starter. Sam Bennett also got an extension as well. They didn't do much this offseason, but they still have to do.
What a turnaround last season for Calgary. I remember early on in the season, the Penguins whooped them 9-1.
Yes, I remember that. And there was a fight in the stands. It was great.
And I was like, wow, what happened to Calgary? But they ended up turning it around and had a pretty good season.
They had a phenomenal regular season just to get upset in 5 games to the Colorado Avalanche.
It's tough to pick between them and Vegas, in my opinion. I have right now Calgary finishing second, but it's probably more likely Vegas gets the second spot.
I think Vegas has better depth. Like I said, I have them first in the Pacific. I have San Jose second in the Pacific, and I have Calgary third in the Pacific, and that's it for Pacific teams that make the playoffs.
And if Calgary's playing Vegas in the first round, I don't think Fleury chokes against Calgary. I think Vegas will probably win in that first round.
I don't see this. I see this as a fantastic regular season team, just like Nashville, but I don't think they have.
Or Washington a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't think they have the depth to make it anywhere past the first or second round. So, yeah, Minnesota. Now we're getting into some interesting stuff that I love to talk about the Minnesota Wild. I don't even think they're in mediocre anymore. This is my new joke team for the NHL. Throughout this podcast, I will try and make fun of them as much as possible. Because at least the Senators are trying.
You're getting choked up over there talking about the Wild, making you sad.
At least the Senators are trying to do the right thing. The Flyers, we make fun of them too much, but Minnesota, man, they deserve so much hate because they're terrible. What are they doing?
They can't do anything with these contracts. The Parise and Suter deal, they just
exactly
they can't move them. That killed them. They are going to struggle. I mean, I like Boldy, not one of those U.S. studs.
Yeah, Boldy are their additions. Ryan Hartman for Tyler, or I think they signed him in like free agency.
Yeah,
cool, whatever.
Philly.
Matt Zuccarello, dude, why are you overpaying for a guy that's in his mid-30s?
Hey,
he's
great
guy
on some teams.
Great player, but
not for Minnesota, though.
No. Minnesota's not making the playoffs at all. They're going to be the bottom of the Central. Jason Zucker hasn't been moved out. Why haven't they done that? They said that they were going to do that. He could get a lot of good picks and prospects back for this team. This team has to rebuild.
Yeah.
And they brought in the general manager to do that, though. The only thing I like about the Minnesota Wild right now, essentially, is Bill Guerin.
And do you know who my favorite Minnesota Wild is?
Who?
Minnesota Wild member. I don't even know how to say that. It's such a weird name.
Wilder.
Yeah. Who? Eric Staal.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still there. But, like, see, he's probably their, what? Is he their first or second line center? Charlie Coyle's gone.
Yeah.
Mikko Koivu better be on. He's, what, almost 40. He's not their first line center. He better not be.
Who do they get back from in the deal for Charlie Coyle? I'm trying to think.
It was, they are.
Danton Heinen, no, he's still there. It was not.
It was,
one of those Boston, you know, centers.
Shoot, let me pull
it. We got to look it up now.
I got it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Ryan Donato.
Yeah, okay.
And why? Like, he's more of a prospect, but if they, I don't know. Victor Rask is also there. Ugh. Way too much money.
That is one of the worst trades. Nino Niederreiter for Victor Rask.
One for one.
Horrible.
Terrible
trades.
Paul Fenton ruined this team, and he got fired for it.
Horrible trade. I can't, like, words can't describe how much I hate that trade.
Listen to their.
Hey, I love Carolina, so it was good for me.
Matt Dumba is probably their best player, in my opinion. He's 25.
He's solid.
But he was hurt, like, the entire year.
Oh, they just signed Spurgeon, too.
But listen to. Yeah, they did sign Spurgeon. Jeez, now that I'm looking at it, Spurgeon's 29, and he's going to be past 35 when this deal ends. But yeah, listen to these big contracts. Zach Parise is 35. This deal will take him up till he's 40. Ryan Suter is 34. This deal will take him up till he's 39. Matt Zuccarello is 32. This deal will take him up till he's 37. And Mikko Koivu still has another year left. He'll be 37. This team's too old. This team's too bad. My joke team, ladies and gentlemen. Another joke team. The Anaheim Ducks.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
They should have been the Mighty Ducks. They did not do anything this offseason.
They lost their star player, Corey Perry.
They bought out Corey Perry. They gave him the stars. They added 2 first-round picks, Brennan Tracy, Trevor Zegras. I couldn't find anything. I was looking through all the trades.
Ryan Kessler's not going to play a single game.
Yeah, neither is Patrick Eves, but that was kind of expected. They have had bad luck.
Adam Henrique and Ryan Getzlaff are their only really, really good guys.
Yeah.
Rickard Rakell.
Andre Cassie.
Yeah.
Jack of Silverberg.
I got Sam Steele.
They're going to get Justin Falk any day now, apparently.
I still think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL. Probably. I remember I picked them to be the worst. If they do end up getting Justin Falk, they probably finish a little bit better. I'm not saying Falk is like a game changer, but he's definitely pretty solid. Anaheim has always been one of those teams. It's kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguars for me. I just don't think of them when I think of the NHL. They're really irrelevant. And so Anaheim going to finish near the bottom.
I also have that as well. John Gibson's going to be the poor guy there because he's going to get no help on offense. Ryan Getzlaff's not that player.
John Gibson,
anymore.
Pittsburgh native.
Yes, Pittsburgh native John Gibson.
We're going to be talking about some really exciting teams here to finish off, though.
Yes, 2 of my favorite teams in the West, the Colorado Avalanche.
What didn't they do in the offseason?
They added Kevin Connaughton for Carl Soderberg. That was interesting. Why did they do that?
Soderberg.
Why is Soderberg gone? Are they bringing in a good center? Oh yeah, they did. Andre Burakovsky for practically nothing. They got rid of Alex Kerfoot. Why'd they do that? Oh wait, because they brought in Nazem Kadri. Mm-hmm. They also added 2 first round picks: Alex Newhook, Bowen Byram. Thank you very much, Ottawa. They also added Valeri Nichushkin to a prove yourself deal. Pierre Edward Belmar, who has
I have his young guns card.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who has some Stanley Cup experience with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, did the Golden Knights win that year in the Stanley Cup final?
No, they didn't. Neither did the San.
I thought Fleury carried the Golden Knights.
Neither did the San Jose Sharks and Jonas Donskoy, who they also added. And they listen to all those names that they just added. Who did they get rid of? Tyson Barrie, Carl Soderberg, Alex Kerfoot, and they added 8 names. Am I reading there? They had a lot of guys. Yep. They also got Sam Girard and JT Compher to new extensions, and they still have Landeskog and MacKinnon on fantastic deals. MacKinnon
being one of the biggest deals.
MacKinnon being the best deal in the league. Best deal in the league, yes. By far.
And they
top
to
three,
Simon Rantanen.
Top three player in the league, and Colorado is currently at the bottom of the entire league in cap space. And McKinnon's making $6.3 million till 2022, 2023. They still have to sign Mikko Rantanen.
It'll happen, though. They got
It'll
that
happen.
Cap space.
Rantanen wants to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colorado Avalanche are going to win the 2020 Stanley Cup. That is my prediction. That is my prediction as of right now. The Colorado Avalanche are going to win the Stanley Cup over the Carolina Hurricanes.
I picked their Colorado too, but I, you know, as you know, I have them losing to the Leafs.
Yeah.
It might change. I'm going to do my bracket. I love Colorado. It's a little bit too soon for me to be having them win Stanley Cups yet. I think in a few, like, give it another year or two, and they're going to be, they could be a dynasty. I think they could really just torch the league.
Why do you say a couple of years, though?
Because they still have a few prospects. I mean, like Bowen Byram, he's probably going to play in the NHL night one. However, just give it a few years until he's really a stud. They also got Cole Makar.
Yeah,
another great defenseman. I think they just need another year or two.
Why not now? I think they can do it now.
Yeah.
I think
their bottom six, I think, just needs a little bit more work.
They have possibly the greatest asset to any team, cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Cap space is more of a value than a good team.
When
you already have a good team, Philip Grubauer, and he's going to be great.
I love Grubauer, but he's not better than Varlamov. So that might hold them back. Yeah. I think they need a really good starting goaltender, and I like Grubauer.
Well, they have cap space. They could easily get Jonathan Quick. You never know.
I mean,
just came into popped into my mind randomly. What if Jonathan Quick went to Colorado, and what if he pulled a 2012? I think this team has it. I think this is the 2009 equivalent or 2009 equivalent to what the Penguins were. McKinnon's young and he's going to get his first cup.
I would love to see it. I don't know if this is their year.
They upset Calgary last year with a team that didn't have that much depth. I think they're going to add big at the deadline. They're going to get Mike Hoffman or someone like that, and they're going to and Jonathan Quick too. Maybe
could always go for Jason Zucker
or Alex Galchenyuk. You know. They could. They're my Stanley Cup pick.
Galchenyuk for McKinnon, one for one.
Yeah, one for one, sure. All right, so my favorite team in the West, essentially, to your favorite team in the West, the Winnipeg Jets.
Love the Jets. Yeah, they were my number two for the longest time. Now they're kind of tied with Carolina.
Wait, hold on. Let me backtrack. My favorite team in the West is still Vegas. Second favorite is Colorado.
Barf, barf.
Additions. Neil Pionk, Ville Heinola, first-round selection, who they got for Jacob Trouba. Who was that one pick that they had?
Nathan Beaulieu.
Yeah. They got rid of Kevin Hayes, which...
Thank God they did not give him the money that Philly did.
Brandon Tanev, thank you. Sort of. Maybe. Tyler Myers. And then Jacob Trouba. They still have a bunch of guys to sign. Being... Not a bunch, but two of them. Possibly the two biggest names on the team, Kyle Connor.
Let me look up
Sam Patrick and Josh Morrissey did get an extension. So you said you had them missing the playoffs possibly.
Well, I'm still thinking about it. So they now have $15 million in cap space, $15,450,000 in cap space. And they're gonna have to divide that between Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine. I don't think they'll take that much or that little money. I think they need to clear out one more contract. Preferably Matthew Perreault, but who's going to take that contract of $4 million? But if you can clear out that cap hit, you can afford both Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor. And I love both those players so much. Maybe you could get rid of Dmitry Kulikov. He's got a $4.3 million cap hit.
Yeah, that's
and it's only for 1 year. So maybe, I'd love to maybe
Kulikov
trade.
Kulikov for Gabranson.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It would be more likely maybe Kulikov for Jack Johnson. That would save them about $1.5 million.
Yeah, for 3-4 more years.
Yeah. That will never happen, but that would be lovely. But they just need to clear out one of these contracts, and they can afford both Laine and Connor. Connor probably gets signed here relatively soon. Laine might go into the season.
Yeah, Laine probably will go into the regular season before they make a trade of some sort. I want Laine to take a bridge deal. That's the Western Conference, ladies and gentlemen. Your Stanley Cup pick is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mine is the Colorado Avalanche.
We have to pick. Oh, yeah. Our predictions for Winnipeg.
Oh, our predictions for Winnipeg real quick. I have them making the playoffs. They'll be the second central team. And they could maybe get it far. I don't see them getting past Colorado or Vegas.
I see them competing with San Jose, maybe. Dallas and Chicago.
Yeah.
For the wild card teams, but it's gonna be tough. I think the Central's too competitive right now, and I don't know if they can compete with that to go for the top three. So
they also are without Dustin Byfuglien for the start of the season, who has some sort of personal issues going on.
So they don't have they aren't gonna have Byfuglien. They aren't gonna have Trouba, and they aren't gonna have Myers. Those are three really big right hand defensemen for your team.
Yeah, that's so. Half of their decor last year. That you could be interesting. Hellebuck needs to have the season he had a couple years ago.
Solid goaltender.
But yeah, your Stanley Cup pick, the Toronto Maple Leafs, mine, the Colorado Avalanche. As of right now, it is only the 17th of September. Will definitely change 100%. But I want to bring up, before we sign off real quick, the two different predictions I made for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I said in my one, or in one of the episodes that we did, I read my article from Pittsburgh Sports Castle, just the preview of it, about how the Penguins are essentially turning into what the Chicago Blackhawks were. As they traded a star player, like they traded Panarin, we traded Kessel, we got swept in the first round, they got swept in the first round. They had to say goodbye to like Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa. We had to say goodbye to Marc-Andre Fleury and Chris Kunitz. So next episode, we are going to dedicate that to our picks, and I want to talk about how missing the playoffs for the Penguins this year could possibly be a blessing in disguise for them.
Yeah.
I really think it. And we'll get into this next week, but I just want to preview that there. But yeah, I have two different – I obviously want the Penguins to do well, but I think that could be an interesting thing, which we'll talk about next week. So thank you all for tuning in to this week. Levi has a test that he's got to study for here real quick.
Yeah, I have my accounting, my managerial accounting.
But hockey has started. Preseason hockey has started. The Penguins lost in overtime. They pulled a comeback there. I didn't really watch the game, but I was getting updates. It was like 4-0, and then we like came back or something, 5-4. We lost in overtime to the Sabres. But yeah, so by the time next week, we'll be in full swing of the preseason. So
1 week will be just a
week away.
Yeah, from regular season hockey,
October 3rd.
So excited!
So thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to catch Century Media, Steel City Films on YouTube, and Pittsburgh Sports Castle. We'll catch you next week.